would get a buddy cheek tattoo with you.
You get a buddy cheek tattoo with me?
Yeah.
Stop it right now. Yeah.
I've learned zero lessons.
Let's go home.
Tears in the booty hole. Tears.
No, no, not again.
Tube.
Not again.
Why?
That was a one pot exclusive.
Wild till nine. Wow.
What's that from again? Feels like a sitcom.
Welcome back to Wild Till Nine after 9 o'clock.
Oh my God.
It is currently
fucking late. 10:32.
10:32 on a
Wednesday.
Is it Wednesday?
Yeah, it's Wednesday.
Thank God.
This week has felt so, it feels as if there should only be one day left in the week.
Last week felt like it went by in a moment. This week has been at least a month.
Yeah.
Why?
I mean, for me, I have had, so I go back to Canada next week and
congrats.
Thank you so much. It's been very long. Thank you. I've shooting three videos back to back and I'm dying. I am drowning in footage, literally drowning in footage. I'm drowning. And so I don't get to breathe until Friday.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah. It's almost here.
But I still have one more day of drowning.
How excited are you for the prep work for next week's guest?
Pretty excited, honestly.
I haven't been as excited about a guest in quite some time.
Yeah. I've been doing my homework.
As a fan.
As a fan.
We should do a fun quiz and see if anyone can guess.
Okay.
All right. Let's do this. How would you describe this person?
Ooh, bougie, newly famous.
Famous is a stretch, but okay.
Newly thrusted into possible stardom.
Okay.
Successful with a bomb ass closet.
Yeah.
And a really interesting upbringing.
And a great mom.
And a great mom.
Dad seems nice too. I haven't seen as much from him.
Yes. And a great mom. Ooh, that's a really, really good picture. If someone could piece that together, it would all make a lot of sense.
And a show on Netflix.
Oh, okay. Well, shit. Okay. Well, I mean, there's a lot of shows on Netflix, but
there's a lot of shows.
Yeah. Did you finish Gossip Girl last night?
Did I finish? Kinda.
No?
The problem is, So, context, we're watching Gossip Girl,
uh-huh.
The new one.
Uh-huh.
I'm speaking to the Latvians
yes.
currently.
Yes.
But so we're watching Gossip Girl, the new one. I never watched the first one. I haven't seen a minute.
That's honestly criminal.
Okay. Anyway, so we watched, or no, your friend Danny was here a couple uh-huh. weeks ago and we uh-huh. like ironically watched the first episode of the new
That was ironic
reboot.
For you? Okay, sure. Okay. Okay.
I mean, you know what? Half of the cast and story, I genuinely could get behind is too strong. I could find myself entertained if I wanted to just have like a
background show.
Like content just hit me. Yes. The problem is the half that I don't like, vibe with, relate to, I think it's just bad. I think it's bad writing. I think it's bad. Like I just don't like it. Is so bad that I check out and then I forget to check back in. Mm. By the time of the second episode, I really wasn't even watching any of it. Mm. It was too background.
Mm.
I want a lean back experience that I don't like. I don't feel guilty because I'm not someone who sits on my phone and checks social media all day. Like at uh-huh. night, I check my social media.
Right.
So I want to be able to check my social media and not have such a thinker that I have to like sit there and give it to my undivided.
Right.
But it's so boring that I'm just completely checked out, not listening to anything. And then I look up and it's like, oh, episode's over.
On behalf of Gossip Girl, I'm so offended.
But
I don't blame you though. I don't blame you. I think
some of the characters I'd love to learn more about. I'd like to hang out and maybe I think I'm a little too old, but you know, I could be their DD.
I think actually a lot of them are just like kind of our age.
Oh, in real life.
Yeah.
Sure.
In real life. Yeah. No, I mean,
I think we now need to clarify this, and not that it's on Netflix. No one from Gossip Girl is going to be here next week.
On HBO Max, which is the best streaming platform.
Get your
subscription.
We should try and get somebody from Gossip Girl, though.
Yeah, we should.
HBO
probably
Max.
Could. Yeah, I probably have a hookup at some point at HBO Max somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Come on, Warner Brothers Discovery.
Let's go. Yeah, I also feel like without the nostalgia piece of you not having watched Gossip Girl,
right?
Like one of the guy, I think his name's Max. Like he has very bisexual Chuck Bass vibes, and so without
was Chuck bisexual?
No. But the character that kind of resembles like what would be the closest character to Chuck. Like without having that nostalgia behind the storyline and the characters, right. Kind of, not that they're like matching character for character, because I feel like there's really not that many similarities, but without having the nostalgia piece of Gossip Girl, I feel like it is harder for you to probably enjoy.
I gotta be honest. There is no world where I'm going back and watching Gossip Girl.
It's not, here's the thing though, is that I think that you would have, did you watch The OC and The Hills?
The Hills, yes, but only because Lauren Conrad.
You watched The Hills, but not The OC?
Yeah.
Huh. That's surprising. I feel like The Hills was more like...
Maybe I did watch OC.
OC had much more storyline because The Hills was like, you know, a loosely scripted reality show, aka very scripted reality show. But The OC was like story.
Yeah, maybe I did watch The OC. I can't remember. I feel like I watched MTV. Like MTV was just on in my house when I was a kid. So like I watched whatever was on.
Okay, got it.
They had my Undivided.
Anyway, I think you actually would have really liked Gossip Girl out of all of them because it had like the New York rich socialite vibes that I feel like you personally have actually known lots of people who like run in that circle. And I don't know, it's such a
you don't have many New York friends, do you?
I have one New York friend, Brandon Wolfel.
Got it.
I have one and
there's,
singular.
I assure you, there's someone in New York that you're pretty close to that just heard that and goes,
yeah, and they're like, cool.
So is New York, going out in the city in New York, like in Manhattan, is it similar to Toronto or not?
Like kind of.
It's not.
It's not. Toronto is just like a much, much smaller, cleaner, nicer New York. And nicer, I mean by like people are kinder. People are like less abrasive.
People have shit to do in New York.
I got shit to do, but I'm a nice person.
Yeah, well, what they mean, as they say in LA, hello means fuck you, and New York, fuck you means hello.
Yeah,
like if someone in LA stops to say hello to you, it's like
I've never heard that before. I don't know if I agree with that.
Yeah, and in New York, if someone says fuck you, that just means get out of the way. They're on the road and they're, you know, headed to somewhere. That being said, it's nothing personal against you. Oh. They just got something to do.
Yeah, I don't like it. I'm not cut out for New York. I'm not made.
You're
for
too
it.
Sensy.
I'm too sensy.
You're too sensy.
I'm a sensy.
Way too sensy.
Yeah. No, I don't like it. It's too harsh. It's too abrasive. It's not for me. It's not my cup of tea.
I think I would have done well in New York.
One of the silver linings of the pandemic is that I did not have to go to New York for I'm gonna go in 2 years, I bet, for not having to go to New York. And I love that for me.
I don't think I'll have to go to New York as often as I used to.
I don't think so either.
But I will have to go to more places.
Yeah, but you do fine in New York. When you go for like a week or whatever, you're like fine.
Oh yeah, I mean, like I like New York by myself, like working, because I will get up at 5:30 in the morning and I will schedule my day until 10 or 11 at night. I will be out with some friend or like something to work until 2 in the morning and I'll do it over again for a week straight. I love it.
I would love to see you get up at 5:30 in the morning for a week straight now.
And I'm up at 5:30 in the morning. Just I haven't gone to bed yet.
Right. Yeah, but that's poor sleeping habits right now.
Well, no, it's just like my office in Hong Kong. So like all the people are up like at midnight. So like when they're like in the middle of their day. So I'm like, ooh, actually real quick, I have a question for you.
I know that worldwide clock and like office hours is not good for you.
No.
It is not healthy.
It's not good for anybody though.
No.
And I think the world has not figured out boundaries yet. Because I think on top of not being able to figure out like, oh, I shouldn't hit this person then. On the flip side, I don't want to not answer someone's question if
right.
I see it.
Right.
Oh, I'll just answer this real quick. Yeah. On the flip side. So it's like, there are people that are literally up at 2 or 3 in the morning, their time, also helping me when I get up at, you know, 9 or 10 right. in the morning. So right. I feel like I'm returning the favor. Yet we're all just not doing anybody any favors by that.
I mean, that's the problem with email is that it can either be so laid back because you respond at your own leisure because it's not instant, or it goes in the complete opposite direction and you feel like you need to respond immediately and clear your inbox, which is a whole other
inbox zero, baby.
Stress. I don't experience inbox zero.
Yeah. It's been a while since I've seen inbox. It hasn't been since June.
Since inbox zero?
Before I left for Mexico.
Oh, this was too bad. I thought you were gonna see it much longer than that.
I mean, it wasn't in a great place then, and now it's like definitely not a great place. But like, right. You know, these are good problems.
Yeah. Well, also, I feel like you have been getting your shit together on a personal level this past week.
I genuinely feel like the last month, and maybe this is just me or maybe it's just my situation, but like, because I didn't know that I was going to get a new job mm-hmm. until essentially like the job was created and presented, like, I feel like I didn't plan for that like week or 2 weeks between jobs to clean up and organize and get this insurance over here and get this. I never did any of that. So it's just like, I went from like, literally like I had my inbox the weekend before I started the new job. And I feel like I was like already kind of starting to work that like 10 or 11, 12 hour days right at the beginning. And so like my personal life and just like organization as a whole, nightmare.
Can confirm.
Nightmare. Physically, mentally, emotionally, everything was a nightmare. And like, I feel like I'm finally like, okay, got it. I now will take time to get some of this personal shit done. But then of course now like my work's piling up. So it's just,
Yeah, but I feel like once you've caught up on some of like the personal stuff, now you can probably find a little bit of bounce. Like, I mean, there was that one period where you didn't do laundry for like a very, an alarming amount of weeks.
I had to visit the online Calvin Klein store to order more underwear overnight to myself twice or three times so that I could avoid doing laundry.
It was real bad. It was like eight loads of playing catch up. But now that I feel like you've hit that point and you've organized now, I feel like you won't go back to that. That was a dark spot.
I'm very much an addictive personality. So like once I get into a routine and once I get into a rhythm, I'm there. But if I'm not in that rhythm, I'm not there.
So are we going to find it?
Yeah, I'm finding it right now.
Well, no, I feel like you got to play catch up to find your rhythm. You know totally. What I mean? Like you got to clean up, you got to tie up the loose ends before you can keep doing the loop.
This week, homeowners out there, y'all know, it is a never ending list of just shit that needs to get done.
Dude, also this is the most stupid old person conversation in the entire world. Our fridge has been broken for like 2 weeks and thank God we bought this like cheap little garage fridge to hold drinks in.
Truly, you know what?
This fridge I'm not getting was $750. Like, I don't know if there was a cheaper option that was like a full size. Like,
right, it's a fridge. Yeah. It is the cheapest full size fridge
yes.
that we could like get for that size and that yes. location and, yes. and also the way that the door opened up.
Yes, yeah. yes. Like, and that is saving our asses right now.
And real quick, shout out Thermador for nothing.
For literally nothing.
Nothing.
Oh my God, it's horrible.
Because our expensive commercial fridge in the kitchen.
This is a $6,000 fridge that came with the house. I did not invest in the $6,000 fridge. And apparently the part is covered in the warrant. What?
What do you mean you didn't invest in that fridge?
I didn't choose the fridge. The fridge chose me within the
house.
When
you bought the house.
I chose the fridge.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah. Yeah, this expensive ass fridge, super broken, super not getting any response back. If anyone works at
Thermador,
yeah, seriously.
Or has parents that work at Thermador, uh-huh. or friends that work uh-huh. at Thermador, shame. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so we now currently, I had to empty out like three rows of White Claw, beer, wine, energy drinks, because that was all, that fridge looked so good too.
Yep.
So good, mm-hmm. so good.
Because
I feel like 4th of July, we had people over and it looked so good and it was so stacked. And now it's all sitting in boxes.
It's funny because my very first like big boy job, I worked at a company that distributed Miller Coors products.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And because I worked at a company that distributed Miller Coors products, like one part of my job was constantly filling fridges and freezers in like a first in first, like a very much like all the labels are forward. Everything is facing. It like looks good.
You say FIFO?
FIFO, LIFO.
LIFO, last in, first out.
And?
First in, first out. Let's go.
That's accounting 201 right there.
That is accounting 201.
Financial accounting, done. Managerial accounting, how about?
Let's go.
How about tax accounting?
Nope,
no?
Didn't do that one.
Okay.
Probably should have.
The point is I organize all of the refrigerated areas in this home. Lauren just.
That is absolutely the fuck not true.
When it comes to drinks, I organize everything.
Okay. That's one tiny little part of what goes into a fridge.
But we have two fridges dedicated to beverages.
Okay. Yes.
And then the third one that's now broken. Everyone's like sympathy for us is like, okay. Huh? So they have two working fridges and the third one's broken.
Well, no, I feel like when you get one of those little drink fridges that go into the like island counter, like I don't think those are actually cold enough to put food in, are they? Like it seems like a drink would get cold after being in there for 3 days.
It's for like to keep wine cool.
Right.
I think it's 37 like, degrees, 39 degrees, 40 degrees.
Isn't that only, what's zero again in Fahrenheit?
What's zero?
Yeah, 30.
Well, I mean, what is zero in
like,
Fahrenheit?
Like 0 Celsius. What is that in Fahrenheit?
32.
32, that's what I'm looking for. Oh, yeah, I see. So that's not even below freezing?
It's a fridge. You wouldn't want the fridge to be frozen.
I guess.
You'd want the freezer to be frozen.
Right. I don't know. I don't know.
I think it's supposed to say 37.
I don't know. Anyway, our fridge is fucking broken and it's very frustrating that we're having to use this little tiny shitty garage fridge.
Well, also like my, you know, grinds my gears, babe.
What grinds your gears?
We're an adult and like shit breaks, but also like if we had gotten a cheap fridge from somewhere for the kitchen, mm-hmm. anyone could come out and fix it.
Yeah.
The parts could be ordered on Amazon probably, mm-hmm. but not this one. You have to go through their shit and on their time and all this shit, it drives me up a wall.
This is the shit that you stress about when you're 20.
If you're in college right now and-
This is what you got to look forward to. Yeah. This is it. This is a peak late 20s.
Did you, in college, when you used to like go out and party, did you like after a night of partying with your friends and everyone goes out and has a good time and crazy shit happens, and maybe that happened more for me than you. Did you have a recap the next day of everyone's like kind of like piecemeal memory that you could kind of bring together and create one story?
Like a little bit, but I didn't live in a frat or sorority situation. So like we didn't have 45 people living in a house. So like in first year I had 3 roommates, second year I had 3 roommates and then one. Yeah,
that's enough. Cause when they wake up the next morning, there's going to be at least a girl or guy also there that I didn't actually live there. So now I got 6 or 7 people.
The two years that I had 3 roommates, none of us went out with all the same people.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like there was like some mixed people, but it just wasn't like that because we all didn't have, there was some overlap of friends, but it wasn't like that.
Got it.
It was like chill and it was friendly and we had like a great time. Like for the most part, like it was all like.
Wait, who were your roommates? Like, do I know them?
No.
Wow.
So first year it was random. So first year, like, I applied for residence in Toronto and it was, oh my God, they're trying to change the name of my university.
Ryerson?
Yeah.
To good enough?
No. So Egerton, I think, I haven't looked into it. So like,
Taryn?
What?
Taryn? Terrence?
Egerton.
Egerton?
His name is Egerton, Eggy.
Okay.
Egerton, and I have not looked into this, so I need to go do my history check, but he was involved in some like really, really not okay stuff in history. Like, you know how like they're pulling all these different statues because it's super fucked up.
Right, yeah.
And we're now just like all realizing that like all these like massive names and names of streets and are just all based on like really fucked up shit. So I guess Egerton Ryerson is like one of those.
Was that his first name? Egerton Ryerson?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Was one of those guys. And so they're changing. I've seen a bunch of petitions going around to change the name of Ryerson University. Yeah. Yeah.
What's it gonna be like, any suggestions?
I think parts of the petitions are like, you can submit who you want it to be or like what you want the name to be. So we'll see. So anyways, I saw that, but what was I going to say? Oh. So first year university, I applied for residence cause I was, you know, outside of the certain kilometer radius of Toronto to live, on campus.
Right.
Cause for Toronto, I think we had like 50,000 students, but only like a couple thousand live on campus. Cause there's so many people that commute into the city and, they just put you with 3 random fucking people.
Yeah, I had just one random, my first year at college.
And you knew the rest?
No, it was just me. It was like they.
Oh, just one. Oh, wait, this is the 2-bed situation.
Yeah.
That is the craziest
you
thing.
Sit, like, you sleep next to each other. Yeah.
That is so crazy to me. That is so crazy.
For nearly 4 decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
You know what's also crazy is this guy that I was roommates with, right? He played League of Legends nonstop. Uh-huh. Nonstop. And I didn't at the time, I'd never played a game, like a PC game in Jeremy in college. No overlap. Not at all. And what's funny, I now know because I'm familiar with what League of Legends is, mm-hmm. what it looks like. I looked him up not too long ago. Dude's a software engineer for League of Legends.
Go for him.
The game that he played nonstop.
That's the one kid who proved his parents wrong, being like, when, you know, he got in shit his entire life for playing too much video games. Now he gets to be like, look what I do with my video game education.
It's like so funny. Like the professions and the careers that have been created in the last like 10, 15 years are filled with nothing but the things like our parents would be like, put the game boy down, put your phone down, stop doing this. And it's like, actually, mom, these are all careers at this point.
Viable. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, not to say that everyone on TikTok should be a full-time TikToker.
No, everyone should.
Yeah. You know what though? I don't know. And so I know that like TikTokers want to immediately like move their following to other platforms you can monetize better.
Well, that's a broad statement, but yes.
Yeah, no, for sure. But like when do you want to know how much, let's see how much I made on TikTok today.
You know how much you made like on a daily basis?
Shows you every day, yeah.
In real time?
I mean, I think it's like a 2-day delay or something.
Oh, so let's see how much you made 2 days ago.
Right, yeah.
Breaking story, Forbes, Fortune Magazine.
Take a guess.
In 1 day?
Oh wait, what number is it today?
28.
Okay, so yeah, the last day I have is for my 25th.
What day is that?
Sunday.
Ooh, that's a down day. I would say $174.
$5.04. Cool. But on Sunday, Saturday, Friday, Thursday, made a whopping 90 cents. But Tuesday, the 20th, $12.55, ladies and gentlemen.
Does it tell you how many views you got in that day?
No. Let me see if I can find my biggest day. Ooh, March 9th, I made $213 in a day.
Okay. I'd love to know what that CPM is.
0.0000001.
Well, no, if you made $200 in a day, it's not bad, but yeah, it's low.
It's real low.
I wonder if that was the first day that like it backlogged though, or did you actually make it all in one day?
No, I think that I maybe had a viral video that day or within that week.
You know what's funny? I don't know if like gun to my mother's head, hey, explain how YouTubers make money or how people make money on the internet.
Yeah.
I don't think she would understand like ads are served. The creator probably did not sell those ads personally. The platform did.
Right.
There's a revenue share. Mm-hmm. They take away after, like, I don't think they would understand that, but I think the average 12-year-old would 100% understand how the mechanics of how that works.
Oh, 100%. Well, they just understand also, like, they grew up with seeing their favorite YouTubers do a brand deal.
Right.
And they grew up knowing that, oh, after 3 seconds, you can skip this ad. Or they grew up like—
Did we tell a story about my half-brother?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, you have to.
Okay, so I was gonna bring that up, but I was like, have we ever mentioned that you have half-siblings? So I didn't wanna like drag that whole family situation up. But we have talked about it, because I think you've mentioned maybe that you have a handful of half-siblings.
Have I even talked about being adopted?
Yes, for sure,
really,
yes.
Like, okay, yeah, but like, so I'm adopted. For sure, yes. My birth parents are obviously very fertile because they both have about 47 kids apiece.
Okay.
Okay. And of which I was the first of many for both sides. My dad's side, there are two kids that are pretty young. Mm-hmm. And one of them, the boy, I had never really met before. And I'll let Lauren pick it up from there, because it's so incredibly—
Oh my God.
Fascinating to understand just how like nature.
It is. It's wild.
Like,
it's wild.
You set some context.
So, I mean, when was the last time you had seen your birth dad? Like when you were 16 or something?
Not kidding. Literally, I had a English teacher. I don't think kids who are not adopted, or kids that have just like the mother and father, and they just have like the like 1850s, like ideal book of like what your family's supposed to look like.
Like me.
Like you. Yeah. I don't think they realize how often there are assignments, at least when I was in class, that like, hey, go and talk to your mom and dad
and draw
about
your family
lineage
tree.
And your family tree.
Yes.
My family tree is a line segment. It is me and the person who adopted me. Like, that is the family tree.
No, your tree has more than that.
She was adopted.
Yeah, but you have another line off your mom and there's a tree there.
My mother, who adopted me, was adopted. She doesn't know who her parents are.
Right. But you and your adoptive mom is your blood grandma. So you have blood with
one person.
But it's the main person.
Right.
Like you are blood related to your
mom. But there's a layer between us.
There's a layer between you, but like, it's not just like some random that you don't have like zero medical history, at least.
1/8, I believe, is the math.
That better than zero.
Anyway,
point is, better than zero.
People don't realize that like, there's a lot of like, that is just like, oh, the, talk about your family history. Like if I wasn't a bullshitter, I don't know what I would have talked about. But
right.
Long story short, after 147 assignments of, hey, go talk to your parents and find out the story of this. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to go find one of these kids. And so I figured out how to get in touch with my birth father to go talk to him about this thing that I then went back and like wrote this paper on in English. And this,
that's how you found him?
Yeah.
It was you just like went out like being like, I'm going to use the internet and find him.
No. I actually got in touch with my birth mom.
Oh, I don't think I know this.
Who was able, somehow able.
Still, I had his contact stuff.
Yeah.
What? Yeah.
Meanwhile, they have not seen each other since.
Yeah, I'm surprised that they still had contact.
I got the feeling that it wasn't necessarily, like, I think if she hadn't been like, hey, can I give this number to, you know, your birth son, and like kept talking, I don't know if the conversation would have continued in a positive light, but like, right. I think there was like a beginning, a middle, and an end, and that was fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so at what age were you then?
16, 17.
Yeah. Okay. That's how I remember. Okay.
So yeah, I was 17. And at the time when I met him in Quincy, Illinois.
Shout out Quincy.
At the time, my half brother was a month or two old.
Let's write a baby.
A baby. Yeah, he was a baby.
That's right.
So like, you went for
a meal with the birth dad and the baby.
And the baby, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I remember. I showed up and he's like, "Oh, just you?" And I was like, "Is your mom coming?" And she was like, "I was like, no, she didn't want to come." He goes, "Oh yeah, that's right."
Wait, yeah. So he thought that birth mom was going to come?
My adoptive mom.
Adoptive mom.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, I feel like just for clarification one more time, Jeremy's birth parents, how old when they had you?
My birth mother was 15.
Yeah.
And he was 17. She was 15, he was 17. And I think like the moment that she got pregnant, he was like, army it is. And so just like, and left. He was a 17-year-old kid.
Right.
So that's why.
Can you enroll and enlist in the army at 17?
And he's been like pre—
for when you're 18.
Yeah, because you can't sign anything when you're 17.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But then when you're 18, like you can—
you can go.
Head on out.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I think you finished high school. Yeah, you finished high school.
And so the next time you saw him was with me.
Yeah, so I—
right?
I mean, there are pictures of me with him when I was a baby.
Okay.
Like him holding me.
Yeah.
And then there's, and if I can find a picture of it, we'll show you right here somewhere. And then I didn't see him again until 16 or 17.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't see him again for another 13 years.
Right.
Or 12 years.
12 years, yeah.
Yeah.
So that would have been 2 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, because we've been in the panty for like a year and a half
now. Pandy Wandy, yeah.
Yeah, so it's been a year and a half. So yeah, it would have been like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And they were in LA for a family vacation.
Yep.
And so he is since remarried and has two kids. And they are like 10 and no.
I think 11 and 13 now.
11 and 13?
11, 13, 12, 13, 10, 9, 11. They're somewhere between the age of one and how old I am.
My best guess would say they were like 9 and 13.
They're not that far apart.
You don't think?
Maybe they are.
I don't know. Anyway, so it was just so weird. So here's how the table was set up. So it was your birth dad at the head of the table.
Uh-huh.
And then it was you to his right, wife to his left.
Uh-huh.
And then it was me to your right.
Uh-huh.
Across the table from me was your half-sister,
yep,
who was like 9. And then
somewhere between 1 and 30, yeah.
My right at the other head of the table was your half-brother.
Correct.
And so I feel like you and your dad or whatever were chatting. And so I was kind of just like, oh, I'm at the kid's side of the table. Like, I'll just hang with them.
Right.
Whatever.
You're the kid's side of the table.
Yeah, I'm at the kid's side of the table. And also too, like, it's like, it was not uncomfortable at all. But I was like, oh, I'm being thrown into a situation that I don't belong in. Like, I'm here to be whatever you need me to be in this situation.
Right. You were ready to be flexible.
Yes.
And work with whatever
was
and
coming.
Mind you, although we share a lot of, DNA and whatnot, I don't know shit about this guy.
Right.
I have
right.
no idea
yeah.
we've had no conversation,
right?
Real conversation in the last decade before that. And before that, never. So it's like, I know nothing about this individual.
Right.
And in fact, not only do I not know anything about him, all I know is the perspective from the person who adopted me, who wasn't exactly fond of the way the whole thing went down.
Right.
So not only do I not know anything personally, every story I've ever heard is from the perspective of the person whose life was made so challenging and difficult because of the situation and the way it unfolded.
Yes.
So I, you know,
not the number one fan.
Yeah. So there's that. Yeah. That's when he was like, is your mom coming? I was like, no, she's not going to be here. She had a conflict. But I think what's funny is it could have, we didn't really know what you were getting into on that side, but it turned out to be, well, all you tell
it. It was totally fine. And there's not like anything crazy that's about to go down. Like it was totally fine, but it was just so interesting. Also because we don't really have friends that have kids of that age specifically. I mean, last episode we talked about how we went to a 2-year-old's birthday party. So it's like, we have friends that are starting to like enter that phase of their life, but we definitely don't have friends whose kids are like 10 to 15 at all. So like, I haven't interacted with a 10-year-old child in a very long time.
It's been a while. Yeah.
Like it rarely happens. Like outside of just like random encounters at like a park when they want to say hi to my dog. Like outside of that, like I don't converse with 10-year-olds.
True.
Except when someone's shitting on my Instagram profile and I message them back and shit on them back. And I'm like, oh, you're a really young person.
You're a bebe.
You're a bebe.
Yeah.
But don't bully me, you bebe.
Yeah.
You 10-year-old bebe.
Listen, I see your thumbs are working.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Grow up, bitch.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I don't really hang out with 10-year-olds or 13-year-olds at all. And so with half brother to my right and half sister across from me, like we're just chatting, we're hanging out, we're like talking things. And he watches a lot of gaming YouTube. And I was like, oh, I was like, this is great. Like we can connect on YouTube stuff. Like I know so much YouTube stuff. And even though like,
I was like, oh, thank God.
And I was like, oh my God, thank God. No, and like she was the perfect, they were actually both the perfect age to still be welcoming and friendly in like what would be a very awkward social encounter if you had been like 16. Like if you were years older, you'd be like, what the fuck is going on? You know what I mean? Like if you were still processing like what this family dynamic meant.
I think at that age, and I'm sure there are teachers that can probably like shed light on this and please do below. I don't know what age you start to assume that things aren't just gonna continually just rapidly change or you're just gonna like the constant is not just like, oh, I'm constantly learning how things work because it's the first time I've seen them. Mm-hmm. Right? I feel like at a certain point in time, you're just like, no, like I don't, like you start to get the information where you're like, I don't know why I know that. I just do. Like at age 9, you're just like, why is that? And how come that?
Why?
But like, I feel like because they were still young enough to accept new information that might've been life-changing in a lot of ways.
They were still like, okay.
Right. Yeah, they were okay, but also they were old enough to understand the mechanics.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Right, like old enough to understand that you like how and why and half brother how the birds and the bees works as to how
I don't know about that. Yeah. Yeah, I don't we didn't walk through
understood
sex ed.
That you were half blood.
Yeah.
Same dad. They understood same dad.
They could understand how it was feasible.
Yes.
Despite not necessarily being told
until
7 seconds before we showed up or something. Yeah.
Right. Also like surprise family vacation. We're going to go meet your half brother and get in the car. So we're chatting, we're talking YouTube and like, I'm like, oh my God, thank God. We have something to like talk about. This kid again, 13 years old. There's no way he was a year older than 13.
Oh, I think because he's not 15 now.
No, there's no way. Yeah. So
I think he's probably 11. I think they were 9 and 11 and now he's 13.
Oh, that does sound more familiar.
Yeah.
So anyway, this 11-year-old turns to me and he says in the most serious deadpan voice and just like the slowest, like most serious paced question ever. And he was like, Lauren, have you been recently affected by the impacts of the algorithm change? And I almost about fucking spat my coke out. I was like, the impacts of the algorithm change? Because it was like 2 years ago when everyone was talking about like, this was, you know, a few years after, what was the ad?
Adpocalypse
and YouTube was changing all of like the ways that people were monetizing and the advertisers pulled out. And it was like this whole thing.
Meanwhile, YouTube did 7 billion last quarter.
Right. 7 billion last quarter, which we just learned. So anyways, he was genuinely curious if the if just like the atmosphere of the digital world had altered my income streams by way of the algorithm changing. And it was the most, I didn't even know how to answer the question because he asked me just like such an adult question,
right,
that most adults wouldn't even know to ask because they don't even understand.
The word algorithm now has become just a common phrase. It's thrown around all the time.
Yes.
It's not that I didn't know what it meant, but I don't know if you could just like drop that. I certainly at the age of 11 was not fitting that into any of my senses.
I was in grade six. I was like,
well, no, he was in sixth grade.
Grade six.
Well,
you know what? Actually, at the 2-year-old's birthday party last weekend, the dad of the 2-year-old's dad was asking me about the algorithm as well.
Yeah.
And I was so impressed. And I was like, I think that my parents, obviously, because like they're so ingrained in like the YouTube, like more than the average boomer or whatever would be, like they understand the algorithm. But I was just like, I was like, this really is a mainstream word. So anyways, going back to the half brother, it was just so interesting to see how, like, if you had grown up in the same era of the internet, that would have been you. I was like, not only does he very much look like you, they both did, which is very weird just because literal like genetics. But then like when he starts spewing shit like that, I'm like, oh my God, I'm talking to 11-year-old Jeremy. Like, this is very odd.
Well, and like, I think people probably start to like understand this part about me, but I have always been curious in just like how things work, and especially the intersection of entertainment and technology, like that idea of just like tech making people feel entertained and keeping their attention and then people being able to like money on it. Like, I think that's something that people don't really understand. And that's something that I've always been interested in. So to hear this kid, who obviously, you know, half of my DNA is his, be so interested and so informed and obviously he was the one that was like, my dad was certainly not the one that was telling him about this.
I was just about to say, I remember thinking after that conversation when we were like debriefing in the car, I was like, oh my God, like your dad and his wife are fucked. Like they live on a farm and they're just like so sweet and like normal folks. And like this kid has access to the internet and he's going to be coding apps by grade eight. You know what I mean? Like he's just the type of kid that is going to leverage the internet to the best of its ability to learn whatever he is curious about.
Meanwhile, like I just had figured out how to clear my cookies and browsing history at his age.
Right.
Which was also dangerous.
Also dangerous. Yeah. No, where it's like he will have sold his own NFT. He will have built an app to hold his collections of NFTs.
Editing source code to make tweets look like they said something else.
Yes.
Being able to change some papers.
Yes.
Be able to find answers.
Yeah.
But I'm sure like what's funny is, did you have to turn in your papers to like, what was it called?
Turnitin.com.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you have to turn that shit in? Uh-huh. It's so funny that like that product is the first iteration of like Content ID.
Right.
It's just text-based.
Oh yeah, you're so right actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and I would copy and paste things in and just reword, just rearrange the words a little bit and then you were good. All you'd have was like so like you could only have a certain percentage of matches.
Yeah.
Or whatever, and it was very easy to bamboozle.
What I would do, or I think I did it for a while and then I got caught, I would, at the end of the paper, when I would submit it, because we would have to turn a paper copy in that would be graded by hand,
yeah, me too.
And then you would send one in and they'd see how much overlap. And I would go through and I would go find all and I would hit space, and then I would insert in white, like font or in white color, like a character. So it made it look like it was all just one word, all just misspelled, which didn't match anything.
Oh.
Because when it printed, obviously, you know, it showed it that. But like, also when I sent it in, even like if you just looked at it from a text perspective, it was the same.
Huh.
That all the spaces were just like a character.
Huh.
Yeah, but then eventually the system did get smart enough to reject
that. To reject that, yeah. I mean, the issue was like when I was in school, like, okay, again, I have a degree in printing, the nerdiest fucking shit you could ever imagine. There are not that many published articles that you could source around the printing industry. Like there's really not that many. So like we're all pulling from the same websites. We're all pulling from the same like educational journals or whatever.
I do remember like papers. Like everyone would kind of find the same sources.
Yeah, the same sources. Yeah. There's just, when you're talking about the stretchiness of paper, there's just really not that many published pieces of like sourced literature
you mean
that
paper
count.
Elasticity?
Yes, paper elasticity. Exactly. Uh-huh. The density of ink.
Did you have to do that thing where our teachers would make us get a source, like a different types of sources? We had to get one from the internet, one from a
one
book.
Print.
One from this.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes. There can be like X amount of web, one from like a journal.
Because that's how the real world works.
Because that's how the real world, and you know what? I have used AMA formatting for my citations every single day since graduating university.
AMA. I did,
I did AMA, so I can't remember.
Wait, what's AMA stand for though?
I don't know.
So there's Chicago style, but
we need to do Chicago style.
We had to do it for something. Format, hold on.
Wait, maybe it's not AMA?
I don't think it's AMA.
Because now I'm like, ask me anything.
I think it's AM. No, AML is anti-money laundering.
Oh no, AMA citation and format. Okay, yeah, that is the one.
No, it's APA.
This says?
APA.
No, mine's AMA, Manual of Style.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. Oh, maybe not. Yeah, AMA citation style guide. AMA format. Yeah.
What's APA?
I don't know.
What's the one for the O?
I'm ride or die AMA.
Remember the Purdue owl?
Yeah, what is that again?
Like just the University of Purdue. They just like published something forever ago with like all of the, MLA.
MLA. MLA. Yeah.
I was an MLA person.
That does sound familiar. I want to say that I was AMA though. Like that feels ingrained in my head.
Did you still use two spaces after the end of sentences as a kid?
Two spaces.
You get done with the sentence and you just hit the space bar twice.
Twice.
As opposed to just once.
No, I don't think so.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I did that.
In university?
Through high school and then university.
Oh, I don't think so.
Yeah, we did two spaces.
Huh.
Yep.
Again, very relevant in the
Oxford
real
comma?
World. What about it?
Did you?
Did I?
Was the Oxford comma a thing?
Yeah.
See, Oxford comma was not a thing in high school and then it became a thing again in college.
Huh.
Yeah.
Huh. Huh.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. I wish they just taught us how to do our taxes.
Well, if you'd done that, you would have been taught how to do taxes in Canada.
Oh yeah. I guess that wouldn't be as useful now.
Yeah. I will say meeting your parents, I feel like for the first time, like halfway through life, you almost get a sense of just like understanding how just like you're gonna probably be a little bit who you are no matter what your environment.
Okay, well that was the most interesting thing though is that like seeing like, well I guess it's still only two generations of like you, your half siblings and your birth dad. I guess that's still just two generations.
Them and
feels, me. Feels like more because they're so young.
Yeah.
But like to see all four of you that share blood, you know what I mean? And like they're on a farm in what state are they in again?
Missouri.
Like imagine you on a farm in Missouri.
I think I'd look great.
Oh my God. When Jeremy has dirt under his nails from like doing like the lights. In the
I air, run inside and go, babe, look, I've got stuck under my nails.
Cause I'm outdoors. You have soft computer boy hands. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But no, it's just like growing up in like living in conditions that are so polar opposites, but still seeing some similarities. It's
like they own horses and chickens.
Own horses.
And pigs and livestock.
Literally. And so to see like the nature versus nurture that exists, that like you literally, even if you're separated like 2,000 miles of what is still similar is fucking wild.
Yeah.
Wild.
Well, I think it would be, it almost gives me anxiety to think about a world where the idea of a family reunion where
imagine all of you and your half siblings
just get dropped in a room.
How many, like realistically, like I know you always joke like 50 half siblings, but like realistically, how many do you think there are?
60.
You think there's actually, come on.
Over 10.
Okay.
Over 10.
Yeah.
Under 20, over 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They're fucking.
And
they were fucking.
I wonder how many of them eventually will end up on like ancestry.com because like how you've gotten matches before, right?
Not that close though.
Huh.
Yeah. Well, they're all younger than me. Like,
oh, that's right. Yeah. Because you're the oldest, right? So like maybe in a few years or so, like they'll start trickling on to.
Like, I don't know if any of them are old enough to have disposable income at this point yet. Yeah. Because beneath me, there's two girls and they're not that much younger than I am. They're like two or maybe like 4 or 5 years younger.
This is so wild.
Like, but I don't even know their. I don't know how to find them. I wouldn't know.
Right. Like where to start?
And the other ones, I've literally never met. I've seen pictures. There's a few actually We should find these pictures. There's a few half siblings of mine that are half white, half Asian.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. They're Filipino.
Really?
I'm pretty sure they're Filipino.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so wild.
I have seen pictures and they're boys.
Yeah. Oh my God. Well, that's so interesting. Oh my God. I'm dying to see those. That's crazy.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to reach out to my mom and ask her for those pictures, but you know, one day I haven't talked or seen my birth mother in,
I don't know the answer to this.
Oh my God.
Maybe since you were 16 when you reached out for your dad's info?
It would have been, I think, right after that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it would have been right after that. She still lives in Chicago, I think. I don't know.
That's wild.
It's wild. And I think I don't have as much, I love how this just became a podcast about my adoption. I don't have as much, I think I've scratched and satisfied that itch of just knowing enough to not feel the need to go back and learn more. Mm. But at the same time, I'm not against learning more. It's right. Just like, I'm not going to go out of my way to, I don't feel the need to go out of my way to like create a connection.
Right. And, but would you welcome the conversation if she were to reach out?
Depends on what context.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What would you be okay with and what would you not be okay with?
I would be okay with her. Well, I think, perfect example, my dad, right? Mm. It was very obvious leading up to and during and even after that dinner, this last one, not that I didn't enjoy myself and was interested and had a good time, like he needed that
100%
more than I did.
Yeah.
Like yeah. I think, and I would feel the same way if, you know, at my age now, let's see, I'm 29. So I'd have a 12-year-old. And if I had a 12-year-old that I never had a real conversation with, and I, you know, saw him again once and then saw him again when he's, you know, 27 or 28. Like, I think I would have a world of guilt and sadness and everything about just not being able to be the person that I think that I would want it to be. And I don't know if it helps or hurts that I turned out okay in a way. And
right. Like, I think, like, is that a win or a loss? Or right, like, how does he feel about that?
I think, of course, it's a win. He's excited about it. Yeah, everything's great.
Absolutely.
But I think it almost makes him more like, I could tell that he wanted me to know so badly that he's taking care of his kids now. You know what I mean?
And 100%.
Like, but also he didn't want to gloat that he was taking care of his kids, but he wanted to let me know that he was taking his care and he loves his kids and it's a big part of his life and everything. And not, I'm glad, of course. I'm that's great. I of course want that for these kids. But like, I didn't need to hear that as much as I think he needed to be able to say it.
Yeah. I also think too, like a part of it, just from a total outsider stranger perspective, like it seemed as if he needed to know from like for himself that you turned out okay. But then I think there was a layer of guilt that again, probably has mixed emotions that you turned out okay, even though he wasn't a part of that process.
Right.
And that's what like on the outside, like he was overjoyed, like to the point of tears that you turned out to be like a good person who was successful and had a good head on their shoulders. Even though he wasn't able to provide in the way that he now understands how to provide for his kids and his family now.
Right. And most importantly, he still has hair.
Yeah. So that was the main takeaway.
Yeah.
That was the main takeaway is that he still had a good head of hair.
Still had hair.
Yeah. So we love that. Right. Yeah. I don't think your hair is going in. I literally can't imagine. Even if you lost 20% of your hair, you'd have more hair than all of LA.
Don't be ridiculous. I'll never lose 20% of my hair.
What would you do if it started like slowly receding?
Go to a doctor.
Yeah, right.
I would open up my wallet and say whatever needs to happen
to make
so that
stay
I don't
my head.
Lose my hair. Yeah.
Yes.
I think I'll look fucking weird with no hair.
I can't imagine it.
Well, my ears are 19 inches long.
You always say that you have giant ears. You really don't. They're very normal size.
I mean, listen, maybe I'd look amazing bald. I just don't see it for me.
I'm trying to imagine you with a buzz cut. Like I'm trying to imagine your sides the same as the top.
It doesn't look bad when I'm in shape. But when I get a little soft around the edges.
A little squishy.
I look a little bit like the Michelin man.
A little squishy.
Little squishers. Yeah, that.
I mean, the one perk of working I was gonna say 9 to 5, but it's much more than 9 to 5 of an office job is that you don't have to be like summer bod.
Yeah, but you know what's funny? Going back to like me getting in my own rhythm and I need to like get into something because once I'm in it, it's great.
Yeah.
I was listening to Dax Shepard's podcast the other day and he had on, what is her name? Esther Perel. Have you ever heard of her? Mm-mm. She's French. She's like a relationship therapist. She's great. Go look at her stuff. Esther Perel. That's how we've said it in America. Golly knows how you say it in France. Not Esther Perel. She was talking about how different people find joy in things like, oh, I need to make sure that I am getting up in time to shower and put on an outfit that I didn't wear the day before to make sure that my appearance looks professional for my job. Mm-hmm. And like, that sounds like work or things that like, oh, I don't have to do that anymore. How nice. But some people, me included, the routine of getting up and going either to the gym before work and like picking out the clothes and like actually caring about how I present myself as opposed to, okay, what's the minimum and minimal effort that I can put forward and still look presentable from my like midsection up?
Me.
Us. Yeah. So there's that.
Yeah. Well, I feel like you were in such a good routine right before we met. And then, but here's the thing though, is that like, I never asked you to change any of that routine. I just feel like as routines change or as the dynamic of your life changes, because I've never said, babe, don't get up at 6 a.m. to work out.
No, you haven't said that.
And also I think you'd be mad if I was like, babe, wake up at 6 a.m. to work out. Like this is a lose-lose situation for me.
Well, yeah. The problem is the issue is the ongoing pandemic. Of course, it's like, okay, once it goes back, they'll get in the gym, they'll do this. And but like, God, we're just going to be in this like limbo stage forever. Oh my God.
No, I feel the complete opposite. I was in peak shape when the pandemic, when we had nowhere to go, when there was nothing else to do. Like
you
I had
in peak shape. Then
I was in peak shape in like, not peak shape, but like, I feel like the first half of the pandemic, we were just drinking every single night because there was nothing else to do.
We were drinking.
And then I was like, oh, I feel and look bad. Like I feel disgusting.
Yeah.
And then I quit drinking for like 3 months and I started boxing again. And that's when I like started to be like, oh, I remember all of this. And so I feel like those like 3 months in spring before everyone got vaccinated, everyone started going back out again. Yep. I feel like those 3 months, I was the most fit and health conscious because like you weren't going out to dinner, you weren't going to parties, you weren't doing social things where there's shitty food, you weren't like even just having friends over for dinner and eating bad. Like we were just at home 7 days a week, weeks on end. And so it was, you weren't going anywhere for meetings, you weren't going anywhere for social things. And it was so easy to like get in that routine. Whereas now every day is so different and our social lives are just very different that it's much harder.
I mean, it's going to be interesting when my car finally gets here.
Yeah.
I ordered a Tesla the week after Elon announced that stupid half steering wheel thing. And I was like, great, sign me up. Mm-hmm. I want this thing. That was in March, I think, ish.
It was when my mom was here.
March, April?
Oh, so end of April.
Yeah. End of April. And it was supposed to come, it said August to September.
Yep.
I got a call about a month ago that said it's coming. And then I called a day or two ago and I was like, hey, can I get my VIN number so I can buy insurance? Like, yeah, we'll let you know. So I've now put my new barrier of like when I'm going to start working out and going out and doing more schedule thing.
Yeah.
When the car gets here.
Uh-huh.
Because getting an Uber in LA right now sucks.
Getting an Uber in LA is insane. It's miserable. 4 times the price. I think everyone switched over to like the Uber drivers are now Uber Eats because they're like, oh, I'd rather transport food than people, which I fully understand.
Yeah.
I do the same.
Yeah.
100%.
Well, and also, I literally, the last few times I've been like, I needed to get somewhere, the Uber Black's the same price.
Oh my God.
No Uber X's.
Yeah. I mean, when we came back from Cabo, it was the same price to book what would be considered like a bougie black car as it was to Uber.
Yep.
Literally. Like that's a wild concept.
Never been the case.
That is a wild concept.
And like people were always shocked and amazed when I told them that I lived 100% like and just Ubered everywhere, Ubered or walked for 5 years straight in LA.
Yeah.
Because LA's not really a metro city. And like I certainly didn't walk very many places, but I did like just hop in an Uber all the place. Like it was so much cheaper than owning a vehicle and from like a parking and everything else perspective too. But like, even with that stuff, like it was just cheaper to Uber everywhere. And like I was in meetings all the time and like going all over the place. That is not the case anymore.
No.
Holy
oh my God.
Shit.
No. Sometimes we Uber our like hard drive over to our editor and that shit costs $30 every time.
Every time.
And she lives not that far away.
Every time.
Every time.
And it used to be 11, 10, yeah. 9, whatever the minimum is, plus like $5.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wild.
No, it's crazy. But also like every time I get into an Uber, and like, I'm not someone who's like, I got a vaccine. I got Pfizer a long time ago. Like I'm not someone who's like freaking out, but like I get in, I'm like, kind of like weirded out. There's always 19 air fresheners that like are all different levels of expired, and they've got the sweet smell, the sriracha. I'm like,
when I tell you guys that nothing makes me more car sick than an air freshener in a car, I'm not kidding. If the ride is going to be more than 2 blocks, I will pay whatever I need to pay the Uber driver, and I will sit on the side of the road until I'm not nauseous, and I'll have to get another car. Like it is, I don't know what's wrong with me. Immediately I am unwell.
Lauren?
Unwell.
The moment I open a car door.
Yeah, you can tell immediately.
Before, like, I a little open, I go, oh, fuck, here we go. Here goes it. Like, I can, before we even get out of the house, I can tell what the night's gonna be just
if there's an air freshener.
By the level of.
Oh my God.
But also, this is where we disagree, where I think you're crazy. You don't like the smell of new car.
Oh yeah, that makes me car sick as well.
What?
I don't know. It just makes me car sick. It's like put the smell of new car in the same bucket as those air fresheners, and I immediately am so nauseous.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And then throw a little bit of cologne in there, a little bit of body odor, all of it.
Oh, I mean, in the mix with an air freshener. Anything with an air freshener is a no for me. Like, and it's not like, oh, this is disgusting. It's like my body rejects that scent, whatever it is, something in it. Oh my God.
And you don't have like an, I don't think you have like a over, you know, like some people have like an overactive nose. Like,
oversensitive, like, or anything?
Oh,
no.
So many onions, it's like, 4 months ago we had this.
No.
And like we live in California, like Los Angeles, it's smoggy as hell. We have a lot of air fresheners in the house. But even when we go in somebody's house, it's not so bad. But when you're in a moving vehicle and you smell something weird, I'm not kidding. Lauren's face looks. I'm like, you're like, are you okay?
I'm literally doing breathing exercises to not projectile vomit.
You just give me that look.
And like, if I can, I'll roll down all the windows. Oh, yeah. And I'm not kidding. I'll hang my head just out enough of the window so that my nose is outside, like getting fresh air. It makes me, I mean, like, again, this is, it's a literal handicap in life. Like it is so bad. It's so bad. I wish more than anything I didn't have this issue, but it is unbearable.
It is unbearable.
Unbearable.
That's a good word.
In more ways than one.
It is a good word.
Unbearable.
So needless to say, we're getting the Tesla. We're getting dropped off.
So here's our other issue as well too. And this is another like really fun old late 20s conversation. So our driveway, for whatever reason, was constructed with a gate that is only one car wide. And the driveway is 2 cars wide and not super long. It's maybe 2 cars in length, maybe. We're not entirely sure. We have to test that that length, that measurement. So assume it's a car and a half long and 1 car wide at the gate, 2 cars wide in the driveway. So if you can now just envision the maneuvering that needs to happen with 1 car pulls in the driveway, normal, pulls up straight. 2nd car pulls into the driveway and will need to maneuver themselves to put themselves next to the car somehow.
Well, okay. The person, if you're first, you go to the right.
If you're first, you go to the right.
Yeah.
It's more getting out that's scary.
Well, my car will do it like itself.
Right. So we just leave you on the right side.
Oh, so we make the autopilot do the tough one?
Yes. Are you kidding? Fair. Are you kidding? That is the only answer to this situation. I'm waiting for
the day that you call me in the middle of the 405 and having taken the Tesla, not knowing how to work it. And it just like,
oh,
just,
I don't want the Tesla. I am so stressed. I need you to put the first ding in it because I don't want to be, and this is conditioned by my dad because my mom and I view cars the same way that we just like, whatever, it's a moving vehicle, gets you from point A to B. I like the luxuries of having like a heated seat because I'm always cold. Like I do request those things in my new car, but I'm not someone who's like, I need to have like a Porsche or a Lamborghini. Like that's not like one of my goals in life. I'm like, oh, this has enough like fun safety features and like keeps my butt warm and I have a backup camera. Great. What?
Your Range Rover fucking sucks.
Okay.
Thermador.
I like
and
it.
Range Rover. But yeah, except for the water feature that was installed.
Oh. Yeah, so I had this fun release.
What do you mean? I found this thing.
You found the first one. I found the second one.
I thought I was being boyfriend of the year. Lauren doesn't wash her car very often.
By often, we mean never.
And I was like, oh, man, this thing is filthy. And I think you had somewhere to be. Like, there's something to like do the next day. I was like, you know what? I will go and I'll get a car wash. And it was super late. So I had to go through one of the automated ones. And so I was like, got it, put it in neutral, sitting there, you know, like you're being brought into it.
Yeah.
And I just go, what? And I look up, like, holy shit, it's raining in the car.
Pouring.
Pouring.
So on the passenger side where the windshield meets the top of the car on the inside,
just raining water feature.
On the inside of the car.
Water feature.
On the inside of the car. And like, soaked.
Meanwhile, you're in the middle of a car wash. You can't get out. You're just like,
oh, no, what? You just endure. You
like,
endure.
You know what's going on, but you're just like, is it going to get worse?
You literally sent me a video of that and I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Meanwhile, but we took it back to Range Rover and they tried to fix it. No, they did fix it. And then it happened again. And the one, fuck the car. It literally, like, it's California. It rains 3 times a year. Can literally you imagine if we lived anywhere else?
Right. Any other state. Any right. other state, like, country. Mentioned,
this Range Rover has seen water 4 times in its life. And I mean, the fact that it took them months to fix the windshield that doesn't work is beyond me.
Not great, but
anti-ads.
The silver lining of that situation was that they gave me a loaner car that was 4 years newer than my Range Rover, cool. And it was really nice. And that's how they get you to do a trade-in program, I think, because it was really nice, and I kind of missed the features of it.
I like that car.
It was red though, and I've always been like a white car kind of person, and so driving a red car around felt very like loud.
Yeah,
for me.
I was with my boss.
It's not for me.
Yeah, like the guy that came out of Hong Kong. Yeah. And like it felt weird getting in like an all red Range Rover.
I don't know, something about it just like felt douchey.
But also was like it felt big and like
it was just such a big red car. Yeah,
a red Range Rover is a lot.
It's a lot. And like no shade to anyone who has a red car, because like my dad, he gets every car in red.
Really?
Yeah. Mustang, but red truck, red.
What about in his car yellow?
That's the race car.
Right.
That's the Vega.
Got it.
And the truck is black, but like
give a shout out to the Vega?
To the Vega?
Yeah.
76 Vega, shout out. What about it?
What's the engine?
A turbo 600.
Really?
No, I don't know. I was like, did that sound convincing? I have no idea.
I don't know much about cars. Yeah.
A dual shaft turbo engine 600.
I'm literally getting a car that I can just plug into the wall.
I have no idea. I have literally no idea. I can't wait for my dad, who worked at General Motors for 30 years and can fix anything on a car. Like his first car was $200 and he rebuilt the entire thing with his dad to like be in. Oh my God, I have the most debilitating leg cramp right now. Oh my God.
Right now?
Yes.
How much water have you drank today?
Oh my God. A liter and a half. Oh my God. 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 I don't know what to do. I'm unwell. Keep going. Whatever we were talking about, just keep going. I'll be fine.
It was, you were going to talk.
Oh my God. I'm dying. Okay. Is it passing? Oh my God. Ow. That was so painful.
You can't wait to see your dad.
Oh, I can't wait to see when my dad, so yeah, car guy, major car guy. I can't wait to see him in a Tesla. I think it's going to be so, he's been in Tesla. Like we've got friends in my hometown who have a Tesla, but I think just the experience of him driving.
The new one is the fastest production car ever made.
Really?
The Tesla? Yeah. But it's the, fastest.
Zoom fast?
Yeah. I think it's the fastest production vehicle. I think there's like cars that will, or maybe it's the quickest. Like, but the 0 to 60 is under 2 seconds. It's 1.9.
I don't know what that means. Like I know what that means, but like in comparison to other cars, I don't know what that means.
It's really, really fast.
Yeah.
So I'll be interested to like see him just like.
I mean, I've been on the freeway with friends who have the Teslas and they just floor it and I scream.
Yeah, I'm good on that.
I think it's kind of fun, but like it is shocking how fast.
We've got solar. Looks cool. It was comfy.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for you to just drive your Tesla and me to not touch it and for that Tesla to do all of the stressful parking and unparking out of the driveway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it'll be fine.
It's going to be fine.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be great.
You want to talk about your tattoos?
Oh,
Lauren's tatted.
No, I'm not tatted. This is tattoo number 7 and 8 though.
But you want to be tatted, don't you?
Well, maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
Mom.
I know. I'm just so stressed. My mom listens to the podcast. I know.
How many tattoos? Okay. Question.
Yeah.
How many tattoos do you think you'll have before it's all over?
I don't know.
How many?
Not 8. I don't know. There's no world where I'm going to like have a sleeve. Like I will never have as many tattoos as Mia has. Cause I'm just like not that type of person where I would fill up.
How many tattoos do you think you'll have?
More than 10, less than 20. Like your siblings.
Got it. Yeah. Okay. So you could have 19.
I don't know. I don't know. I genuinely don't know.
Your mom's like 19.
Tattoos. Here's like what I just like had this rant over on my blog. Not rant. This, I came to this conclusion, like maybe 4 or 5 months ago.
A little self-reflection.
Yeah. And it really shifted the way that I think about tattoos. The same way, I think we've talked about this before, just like how you always, when you were younger, you thought that like one day you just wake up and be an adult.
Right.
Like remember thinking that. And then one day you just wake up and you're like, oh, like this is it. Like,
yeah, I had that thought a lot earlier.
A lot earlier than I did. But I remember being like, oh, this is who I'm gonna be. Like,
oh,
this is it. Like, right. There's no like metamorphosis that's gonna happen one day. And this is it. Like, I like what I like. I do what I do. I'm built how I'm built. And so I feel like,
and also like the biggest mistakes and the things you've done in the past that like you wish you hadn't done. It's not like it's a tattoo. You're just like, I did that. It's not like you didn't have a choice and like, oh, I didn't choose this tattoo. Like, you did it. It's a learning experience.
Right, 100%. If you got a, like, right. Like getting your ex's initials on your finger. Yeah. That's a learning experience.
That's a very abstract example that you're bringing up. But yeah, let's keep moving. Yeah.
So I just like had this epiphany that like, I don't know, I grew up being told so many times that like, you're gonna regret that when you're older. You're gonna hate that way that looks when you're older. And I'm like, I am old now. What am I waiting for? Like, I'm fucking old. Like, I'm in my prime and I'm old. Like, why shouldn't I just put the art that I want on my body? And here's the thing. I think there are a majority of the world, I'm sure, can go through their life with their just like clean skin. Uh-huh. Living their life.
I wonder what percentage of people have tattoos.
Actually, let me Google this. I'd actually love to know.
I would say.
Yeah, take a guess.
27.
What percent of the world? There's a ton of cultural tattoos as well too.
Yeah.
The world have tattoos. I'm gonna go higher. I'm gonna go like 33, like one third.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna be low.
What did you guess?
27.
27. I'm going to go 33. Okay, here we go. Oh shit. 38% of global respondents.
I literally almost said, actually I want to make it 37.
Damn.
Wow. 37.
Damn.
38. Yeah.
Wow.
And by the time Gen Z is our age, half.
Okay. So, oh, this is shocking too. So the top,
and this is America or global?
This is global. So percentage of people who have at least one tattoo, Italy, Sweden, oh wait, hang on. I'm not entirely sure. I don't understand this ranking. Oh, this is a gender comparison. Wow, peak age of people. Wait, hang on. What the fuck is this? What's going on here? I don't understand this. Okay, some of these graphs don't make a lot of sense.
Okay.
We got a lot of different data going on. But 38%.
I mean, 100% of the people in this room have a tattoo.
I would say 1.5 people in this room have a tattoo.
Yeah, it's almost gone.
Yeah, it's almost gone. But yeah, I feel like because my mom doesn't like tattoos, she did a like really, like,
I heard when I was younger,
I was
like, you just want to say that your mom said this?
Well, and she did such a good job, obviously, because it's taken me until 28 years old to be like, oh, I can have my own ideas around this, but just like, you're going to hate that on your wedding day, or you're going to hate that when you're older. That's going to look bad when you're old. Like, I'm going to look shitty at 75, no matter what. So it's like, I might as well.
Untrue.
You think I'm going to be hot at 75?
100%.
Yeah. That's great.
Gilf.
What?
Gilf.
Grandma, I'd like to fuck. Yeah. Gilf.
Yeah.
I'm going to be gilf as fuck.
Gilfy.
I'm going to be gilfy. Asian don't raise a baby. I'm going to be gilfy.
Gonna be gilfy.
I'm going to be gilfy.
Aiming for gilf status.
Aiming for gilf status.
And I want to be what? I'll also be a gilf.
You'd also be a gilf.
That's great.
Babe, I can't wait to be a gilf with you.
We're going to be matching gilfs.
I can't wait.
That's going to be great.
That's so exciting.
Yeah.
Going back to like, I feel like there are so many people in the world who are just happy to like have clean, pure skin that's never been touched. But when I think back to my earliest moments of being a creative and not wanting my shit to look like everyone else's shit. And obviously this is a metaphor that, you know, is like, I want my backpack to have something special on it other than other people's backpacks.
Right.
But now I'm like, that was the earliest metaphor of me like needing to have some kind of like
creative expression
and like unique customization portion. And it, Gail's going to be so mad.
She's not going to be happy.
She's not going to be happy.
And you are going to see her this week.
Yes.
It'll be so fun.
Hopefully she'll still pick me up from the airport.
So you're going to have 20 tattoos.
No, I don't think so. I don't know. We'll see. I don't think so. But also like 20 tattoos when maybe 6 of them are super tiny. Like that seems like, when you look at me, you're like,
maybe 30.
Right. Maybe 35. Yeah. You never know. No, but like when you look at me and you're like, oh, she has 8 tattoos. You're like, bitch, where?
Yeah. If you said you had 8 tattoos and I saw you, I'd be like, oh, shit, you freak. Okay. Got it. Cause
they're just, they're all 8 of them, 4 on each buddy cheek.
Each buddy cheek.
4 on each buddy cheek.
I would get a buddy cheek tattoo with you.
You get a buddy cheek tattoo with me?
Yeah.
Stop it right now. Yeah. You get a buddy cheek tattoo with me?
Sure. I don't look at it. I never see it.
Oh my God. You know, Zach has a buddy cheek tattoo.
I do.
A corn, ditty smiley face on his butt.
Yeah. I would get a butt tattoo with you.
Wow. Yeah. Oh my God.
You know why? Because I've learned 0 lessons.
Matching butt tattoos.
Can you imagine if we broke up, how I was going to have to then explain I'd lie.
You would just lie.
Well, I can't fucking lie anymore.
This is the issue here.
With this part of
you
my
have,
job.
You have the forever.
Right.
Yes.
Like my 9 to 5, mm-hmm. What goes on there? Well, one, there's an NDA on everything.
So oh
like,
my God.
It's what?
Oh my, this is just crazy. Like here I was thinking that our podcast is going to be titled My Adoption Story, but now I'm like matching butt tattoos.
But also GILF matching. Oh, much. Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's so many good things in this podcast.
So many
we
good things.
About none of the things we thought we were going to talk
literally
about.
Literally okay. None of them. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Wow. I mean, this is what happens though. You stay till the end. You get the good shit.
You get the good shit.
You know what? I understand now why some of our favorite podcasters like will do 2 podcasts back to back because I feel like we're going now.
Right.
Cooking with heat.
We are cooking with heat.
Yeah.
And like, not to, you know, cut it all short, but like you definitely want to hit subscribe. You definitely want to hit the bell. You definitely want to make sure to tune in next week because it's going to be a...
Oh, yeah, next week.
It'll be an unorthodox episode.
Whoop. Bye.